Turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. That'll be our study this evening. We finished the first four trumpets last Wednesday night. I think a reminder, next Wednesday, I believe, already is the missionary fellowship, so we won't have a study next week, so we'll have a break. But tonight we'll start the fifth trumpet, Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to go ahead and read those verses, and then we'll work through them together. We're going to go a little bit different than I have been going. We'll cover all the verses, but we're going to group the verses tonight based on a few categories, as you'll see by the notes. But first, let's go ahead and read together. Revelation 9, verses 1 through 12, the fifth trumpet. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes hereafter. May God bless the reading of his word this evening. Well, you might notice in the notes that I've entitled this to give you something to kind of anchor the message with. Speak to the scorpion sting. And what I have in view here is witnessing again. We looked at how we can witness with the phenomenon of powerful weather, all kinds of different things last week, the first four trumpets. Tonight is another powerful witnessing opportunity if you will pay attention to it, and if you will take it seriously, and if you will take your call as a Christian seriously and go out there with it. Tonight you will be equipped with another incredible opportunity to share the gospel. But it's speaking to the sting of the scorpion. That is the scorpion-like sting of the locust. It's a really incredible, powerful image we're giving tonight. And it's the fifth trumpet. It's the fifth trumpet, and it's the first woe. You'll remember last week, at the end of the four trumpets, the first four trumpets, then there was an angel over the kind of the zenith of heaven looking down and giving a warning to all the inhabitants of the earth. Three woes, meaning the next three of the seven trumpets you want to pay special attention to, because they're particularly serious and severe. And if you can't pay attention to these, there's probably no hope for you. And so that's the focus of this, the fifth trumpet, the first woe. The first, I should have said first four, not first three, the first four natural forces on earth. I have three there. The first four natural forces on earth were related to the first four trumpets. You remember there are all these different things going on with weather movements and things, all the kinds of catastrophic events. And those were trumpets, loud warnings, warnings from Christ that judgment is coming. Now we move on in these last three to the spiritual realm. We move into spiritual activity, but we will see it plays itself out as it always does in the activity of men. And it is a warning. Again, this fifth trumpet, like all the trumpets, is a warning, a loud warning that we are being equipped to make sure people should know to pay attention to. And this warning is involving five characters. We're going to look, there's basically five different characters. That's how I've grouped the lesson tonight. We're going to look at these five different characters through the scripture, and we're going to see how they play in together and what we should do with that. The first character is Satan. Satan takes a prominent role in this vision tonight. Now, who is Satan? He is in verse 1. He's the fallen angel who is miserable and he wants the company of the mankind with him. He wants to take them down with him. And you're going to see that's what he's trying to do. Now, God's going to use it for something else. But Satan is kind of one of the primary characters here. We look at verse 1 in chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now we know from Revelation 1 verse 20 that sometimes in the Revelation, stars represent angels. It says that explicitly in Revelation 1 20. Now in that case, good angels, not angels that have fallen. But this star in Revelation 9 verse 1 tonight is a fallen angel. And we know that that's Satan. Satan is described as a fallen angel in Luke chapter 10 verses 17 to 20. Jesus Christ said, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of the sky down to the earth. He's also, Satan's identified as the fallen angel in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. So we know we're talking about Satan here. This fallen angel, this fallen star from the earth is symbolically referring to Satan. And he's a real person. You know that. He's a real person. He's a spiritual person, but he really exists. And he's looking to take the earth, and he's looking to take prisoners, not take no prisoners. He's looking to take prisoners. You're going to see that tonight. Look at verse 11 in the text. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. So verse 1, we see that it's Satan, he's the fallen angel. In verse 11, we see he's the king over all the demons. He's the king over the abyss. We know that is Satan. And what Apollyon means, what both of the first name is a Hebrew version. The second one is the Greek version. But the name in both languages means destroyer. And that's why we want to really take this seriously tonight. Satan is out there. He's all around us. Well, he's not omnipresent, but he's got his demons doing his work, as you're going to see. And he is a destroyer. He is looking to destroy people. Now, we're going to see the Christians don't really need to be afraid of him. Nonetheless, 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, watch out, be aware about Satan. He's like a roaring lion. He's roaming the earth looking for whom he can devour or destroy. He's looking to consume whomever he can. If there would be someone here tonight that's not part of the true church, maybe the visible church, but not the invisible church, you are in danger. You who are in truly Christians, you are not in danger, we'll see from the text tonight. But he is the destroyer. He's playing for keeps, but he's not playing around. He means business. And we see what his actions are in verse 2. Look at verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So we see here he's given a key to the pit, to the abyss. This is hell. It'll later be called the lake of fire, but right now it's called the abyss. It's before the end, the judgment day. And we know that Christ has the keys to heaven and hell. Christ has all these things. We've seen that kind of thing come up earlier in the Revelation. But Satan here is given the key to the abyss. And what does that mean? He's being allowed to unlock the gates. He's being allowed to let something out of hell onto the earth. Remember, this is a warning to the inhabitants of the earth. That's what the three woes are that set up these last three. And what we see here is Satan has been allowed to open the gate of hell so that he can let out his deceptive demonic forces so that he can lure men to him. And that's what we're seeing here tonight, There's a real Satan. There are real demons, and he's been allowed to open up hell and send them out. Maybe a special reserve in these last days. So that leads to the next section. Satan is the one that's kind of leading the vision here at the beginning. But we see that he's not omnipresent. He's not as powerful as God. He has to use demons. He can't do it any other way. And so he's going to use demons. That's the next kind of character group we're going to look at in the study tonight. These demons are represented by locusts, you know, big old kind of grasshoppers. And if you see a whole bunch of them together, you want to get out of there. You know, they can swarm in and just take over crops and just destroy a land and run out of there. And that's what these demons are represented as. Satan is sending a demonic army. He's unleashing a demonic army to the earth to hurt the men of the world. That's why they're coming. You're going to see that as we look through the verse. The demons are sent to hurt the world, to hurt mankind, to torment them, as our text says, to cause them trouble. Satan's allowed to do that. And so let's see these demons as Satan has unleashed them. Verses 7 to 9. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. First of all, we want to remember that locusts, you know how we saw last week, some of these trumpets, there are a lot of them that are kind of alluding to the plagues of the Exodus. And, you know, we'll be there in a little while in the sermons in the morning. We're going through Exodus. So naturally, you should probably think, wow, that sounds familiar, this plague of locusts. That's going back to the Exodus, Old Testament, Exodus 10, verses 4 to 15. You might read another time, go to Joel 1 tonight, verses 7 to 12, and look there. There's a prophecy in Joel about locusts as well, and kind of some similar or overlap to our text tonight. We won't go there for sake of time, but I always want to point that out. There is so much Old Testament imagery that's behind what we're reading and kind of assuming you know it. And if we really went to all those references, we just would never get done. So sometimes I'm just going to refer you to those. But there's a battle going on. And that's what you need to see. There's a spiritual battle going on in this earth. But what you need to see with the demons is that their tactics are deceptive. It's almost like they're fighting guerrilla warfare or something. Okay? What do I mean? Well, when we read verses 7 through 9, you need to see how they represent themselves. First of all, you need to remember, who is their king? Their king is the devil, right? You know that the devil is the father of lies. You know that he is the deceiver. And we saw in verses 1 and 2, he's using a smokescreen. That's representing deception. If Satan were to come right out and let you see his true colors, you'd run and scream and you'd run away from him. So he doesn't work like that. He's beautiful. He makes himself beautiful and he makes his demons beautiful and powerful. He makes it the kind of thing that you're attracted to, you're eerily attracted to. And the world just can't resist. And that's what he's doing here with this smokescreen of verse 1. But remember, the goal is to destroy people, verse 11. And to destroy them would be to do the kind of thing that will bring them ultimately into hell with them in the end. But they're crafty. They craftily impress everybody on their front ends. Notice the kind of things that are said here. Verses 6. Where did I begin? Verse 7, excuse me. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared in a battle. They're powerful. There's a couple of images here of great power and authority. And when people come into our life that come across that way, or, you know, there's a reason that certain countries shift away. You're surprised they do sometimes. When power, great power comes along, that's attractive to people. And it's hard to say no to it. And you see that here. There's a lot of images of power. On their heads, they have crowns of gold. I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? They're attractive. They have the sense of regalness and royalty. The kind of thing that you'd go, ooh, look at that pretty crown. You know, they're trying to attract you. Their faces, whereas the faces of men. They're not showing themselves as demons. They're showing themselves as men. They're showing themselves as just like you. If angels might be able to be entertained unaware, you can trust so can demons. And they're creeping in among us. They're creeping all around the world. And they're deceiving. Their faces were as the faces of men. But notice this. They had hair like women. They're seductive. There's yet a femininity to them as well with all this power. They're beautiful. They want to lure you in. And they have teeth as lions, breastplates as well of iron. And then their wings are making this loud noise. There's a ton of them. It's impressive and it's intimidating. And no one's going to say no to that unless they're sealed by Christ. The world just isn't going to be able to say no to that. And we're going to see that borne out. So on the front end, they present themselves deceitfully, but in a sense to where the world's going to, wow, I would like to get in on this. But then we want to see in verses 3 to 5 and verse 10, their front end's beautiful, but their back end will bite you. Okay? Verse 3 to 5. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now we'll talk about those particular group of men in a little bit. But notice, these locusts, they're not like real locusts, it's symbolic. They're not going to destroy crops like locusts normally do. They're going to destroy men because they work for the destroyer, Apollyon. And they're being sent out to destroy men of this earth and take them with their claws down to hell once they get in on them. Verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. Notice that. Not kill them. But that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now think about that. We're going to go to verse 10 in a moment. Well, let's go to verse 10 too, so we don't forget. And they had tails. Yes, it goes right with it. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So, I don't know if you've ever seen a scorpion. I haven't been too close to one yet. I hope I never do. I venture to imagine you hope you never get too close to a scorpion either. Though I think I've heard of, didn't the Raglans, didn't you have a scorpion in your house once? I'm imagining you didn't invite him to lunch, right? You got rid of that guy, right? You were careful because you got the neighbor to do it. Yeah, there you go. That's good. I'm glad you said that. That's the idea. You don't want anything to do with a scorpion. Scorpions can hurt you bad. You see, these demons that on the front are very attractive and impressive and powerful, and they'll get the world, but they get them, and then they sting you. You know, you might have heard that illustration. You know, the frog, I think it's a frog, wants to ride the back of a scorpion across the pond to get to the other side, and they make an agreement, you can't sting me. And then halfway across the pond, this is really an illustration for something else, but, you know, they're halfway across the pond, and then the scorpion does sting him. He says, you said you wouldn't do that. He said, I know, but I'm a scorpion. You know, I mean, that's what they are. That's what they're for. That's what they're going to do. They're going to sting and they're going to hurt. And it hurts bad. And you see, Christ confronted the demons in his first coming. And he's warning the world before his second coming. Now, that's something you want to recognize. When the King of Glory came to this earth, what did you see really happen? The demons just kind of got exposed, you know. It's almost like threw a stick of dynamite in the river or in the stream or the pond, and then fish just started flying up, you know. When the King of God, King of Glory, came to this earth, the demons doing their work subtly were exposed. They were afraid before him. They cried out when they saw him coming, you know, Son of Man, don't do anything to me, kind of stuff. They knew who he was because they knew who they were, and they knew that he'd see them. But now that the Lord is up in heaven, I think it becomes a little more subtle again. He's not right in their face, at least in the flesh, right? And so Jesus is warning the world. They're still there. They're going back to their subtle ways now, but they're still there, and they're just as dangerous, and we're getting closer to the end. And if you can't say no and repent and turn away from these demons, they will take you with you. With them. They will take you with them if you're not a true Christian. Now, what about these 5 months? Probably it relates to the lifespan of a locust. Maybe it's about 5 months, apparently. We know insects don't really tend to live real long. And again, this is all symbolic, but what it's communicating is that just like locusts don't live forever, and they're not really alive very long compared to most animals, they won't be here forever, these demons. But as long as they're here, they're going to use every moment like a locust. They're going to consume every possible thing they can until their time is complete. It will be complete. It won't go on forever. But this is a serious warning introduced by a woe, because it's big. It's a big thing. And they will use their time efficiently. Sad to say, the demons are so much more efficient with their time than Christians tend to be. And they will work it every square inch and every minute they have. So that leads to the next character group. Who are the locusts stinging? A particular group of people only. And that is the men of this world. Of course, when I say men, I mean mankind, men, women, boys, and girls of this world who are not Christians. Remember, the Revelation is to be a book of blessing and encouragement for you, Christian. It's showing you these spiritual realities that are going on, helping you understand what's going on. And you're seeing through the Revelation. You're not going to be outside of it all. You're not going to be raptured out of all this. But this particular thing is so dangerous and so terrible and has such a lasting, eternal effect that you need to see you're protected from it. And Christ is showing us He protects us from this. We're going to see this is even coming out of His hand again, but He protects His people from it. So the men of the world are the ones that are getting stung by the scorpions. They are the victims of the locusts who are not protected by King Jesus. Verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Not the seal of God in their foreheads. That means they're not Christians. And in particular, they're not true Christians. You're going to see as we advance in the chapters, there are those within the visible church that in the Revelation are exposed as not truly. Anyone who's not truly part of the visible church, this is affecting them. Only unbelievers can be deceived by Satan. Those who are not protected by the seal of Christ in faith. Now we saw in Revelation chapter 7, verse 3, that the militant church, the true invisible militant church, have their heads sealed. Their foreheads are sealed by Jesus Christ. He was showing us there that Christians will make it until the end. They won't give in to Satan. Which is helpful to know because of what we're seeing. And it's helpful to know because of what we saw the churches of Asia going through. I mean, Satan was sitting on the throne in one of their cities. And it's helpful to know that we have been sealed and we will make it through, because we fear that sometimes. We fear, will I last? Will I make it through persecution? And true Christian, you will make it through persecution because Christ has sealed you. But those who are not sealed have no protection. They have no protection. And this really does explain. You know how you and I, we just don't understand people sometimes. What seems so obvious to us, we're so grateful for. We try to share the gospel. We might even give them the church sometimes. And they just don't want it. They just can't hear it. Sometimes you can tell they're not listening. And they go right back out to the things that they want. They never have seemed to be able to let go of those things, because they haven't yet been sealed. And they have no defenses. They are just absolutely stunned. And they can't get away from it. It's so seductive, the demons of Satan. And they're being destroyed. And unless Christ intervenes and gives them faith and repentance, they just can't resist Satan. They can't resist him. It ought to make you very thankful to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you realize, wow, I mean, don't you ever find yourself saying that person is just so deceived? They are just so deceived. They can't hear it. And I don't understand. Well, this is the explanation. Because if they're not in Christ, they are in Satan. There is no neutrality. You're either in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of Satan and of this world. And if you don't serve Christ, you serve Satan. And he blinds people. It's scary. And yet there's still time to repent. There's still time for the elect to be saved out of that, as we'll see. Look at verse 6. Let's see the effect here. of the sting on the men and women. Whoops, pardon me, I flipped too far back. Chapter 9, verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. They're going to wish they could be dead, but they can't. They're going to live a reckless life, hoping they might die. You hear stories of that, and yet they don't die. They're going to wish they could get out of this, and that's why you see people acting the way they are. Deep down, they're miserable. And deep down, they just kind of want it to stop. It's scary. Again, we should be grateful it's not our experience. No, don't get me wrong. I have plenty of my lamentations to the Lord, and the Psalms give us a way to have a word for that. But it's not the worry and sorrow of the world. I don't have the fear of the world. And we're going to get to this a little bit more in a moment when we look at another audience. But Christian, you don't have the fear of things in life like those under the influence of Satan do, which is anyone who's not a Christian. Don't get me wrong, they're faking it a lot. But you get to know them. They let their guard down. They let their hair down and talk to you. And you'll see this in the visible church. You'll start to maybe wonder, because when you really see them, you can tell they don't have any peace. Because they may not actually know the Lord, who is the Prince of Peace. You see, these people who are stung by the demons, they are miserable. They can't put themselves out of their misery, however. They would like to, and they can't. You see, the scorpion sting is painful, but it's not usually lethal. I didn't know that, but I learned that in this study. Maybe you know that. The scorpion, apparently, its sting won't usually kill you. That doesn't mean we want them in our house anyways, right? But it probably won't kill you, but it'll hurt really, 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 really bad. I mean, it'll hurt bad, and it'll kind of last, apparently. You know, it'll just be there for a while. And that's the idea. That's what's interesting about the scorpion sting. It's not that he's going to kill. He's just going to really hurt until he gets you to die eternally with him in hell. But that's the way of life with the people as well. Now, I saw this program, and I think I'm sure it's a fictitious story, but there's this guy who does this really ambitious thing, and everything's going against him. He does this really ambitious work, and he does all kinds of things to make it work. And when it finally works, and he's so successful, he's walking out with a friend across the street, and the friend's commending him for the success. And this guy, in front of everyone, is always, he's almost like a theater guy, a circus. Hi, how are you? I mean, he strikes you like he never has a problem. But then they show him in the other room after he's performed, and he's looking like he's having a nightmare, thinking to himself in his office. And he walks across the street with this guy commending him after he just went through this enormous effort to have success. And he says, yeah, but now it's done. And now it's done. You ever feel like throwing yourself in front of a train? He says. And you kind of go, whoa, I didn't see that coming out of that guy's mouth. But he had a vulnerable moment where you realize if you do a study of human nature, everyone's miserable. They wish they could just die. They're so tired of the rat race. Life hurts bad, and it doesn't seem like it's ever going to go anywhere. And unlike us, they don't have any point. They don't have any purpose for the misery. But they keep getting stung, and they keep having to have it. Another example of a true story is Alexander the Great. You know, he's 30-something. I think he's younger than me at the point of his pinnacle of his success. And he, at the end of it, when there's really nothing else to conquer, he cries. Alexander the Great cries because there's nothing else to conquer now. So what's the point of my life? And it didn't satisfy me. I'm still, after all of that, unsatisfied, and thus I'm miserable. The sting of the scorpion makes you miserable. All on the front, he looks so delicious, got to have more of it. But you're never satisfied. You see, the locusts lead the wicked into their living hells. They make their lives a living hell, their families a living hell with no point, no purpose. So they go looking elsewhere for happiness. And then it just gets worse. And they have more problems. But they can't stop themselves. And it will lead them straight to hell. They're not allowed to kill them, but they are allowed to sting them. And if they keep stinging them long enough, they'll get to eternal death. You see, success never satisfies. It just keeps stinging. And Sting's effects come out in scenes like the mass shootings that we have seen in our country so often in the movie theaters and in the schools. Do you notice what the media always writes it off to immediately? Mental illness. Everybody just assumes it is. Nobody even questions that. I marvel at how often, boom, it's mental illness. Why? Because it's just so awful to think about. We need to kind of put it in a label, in a box, and push it away, and then think that we can control it, not recognizing these people are off and on the kinds of things that if you listen to the commercials for them to try to deal with their problems, cause those same problems. And we don't want to deal with what's really going on with these people. It's evil. We're dealing with wickedness and evil. And nobody wants to actually deal with that because if they did, they'd have to really recognize it in themselves. The media wants to say these kinds of terrible things we're seeing are mental illness. But John is warning us tonight. No, it's moral evil. It's satanic influence. But you can see how we have another powerful witness like we did with huge weather movements last week, because isn't it happening all the time? And isn't everybody always talking about it on whatever they saw, whatever the latest killing is? And you can say, no, let me show you in Revelation 9 what's going on. This is a loud trumpet that you need to listen to. You need to pay attention to. Remember Legion. Jesus heals Legion. Luke 8 verse 30. He comes into his right mind. But before that, they didn't want him anywhere near him. Keep him out in the graveyard. That guy's loony. Well, in this case, he wasn't just demon influenced. He was demon possessed. I don't think that we're getting from the text to understand everyone's demon possessed, but that's certainly a possibility. But we definitely are seeing is they're influenced by Satan, because you're either influenced by Satan or you're influenced by Christ. But there's no neutral place. And see, the revelation is forcing us to look at that again. Because you and I kind of want to be able to not think the world's as scary and bad as it is. But it is. And we need to know what we're dealing with. And it is satanic. Morris writes this. When men fail to respond to God's gracious invitation and set themselves in opposition to His purposes, then they become the prey of horrifying demonic forces. And those other forces, demonic forces, have scope when men turn away from God. You see, this is why pastors get a little bit excited from the pulpit. Because we realize anybody that may seem like they're not really truly a Christian by their actions, we're really afraid for them. Trying to get their attention. Because this is what will happen to them. Satan will keep stinging. And God will keep giving them over to a seared conscience. They'll turn away from God if they don't hear the warning. But that's the next character we need to look at. God Himself. God Himself is here, and we want to remember this. He is the one controlling all of this. He is the one who sent this warning. He's the one sending this warning of Judgment Day. He's saying last day, Judgment Day, is on its way. It's getting closer. And we're even seeing that as we go through the Revelation. It's getting more intense. It's getting more related to closer to the end than it did when we started. Which is to give you the feel of the understanding. Every day it's getting closer. You don't know when. It was 1/4, now it's 1/3, remember last week. It's getting more intense and it's getting faster. It's not going away. It's coming closer. And the warning is, if you don't turn away from Satan, you're done. You'll be with him forever. And then you won't be able to pretend you're not dancing with the devil then. And at that point, he'll step on your toe every moment, and he won't need to mask himself anymore. And neither will the demons. But we see that God is in control of all this. Verse 1, it says that Satan was, they gave him the key. He didn't own the key. It was given to him. Verses 3 and 5, we see the words given again. These things are given. They don't have their own power. They don't have their own authority. It's coming from God. In verse 4, they are commanded not to do something. They are restrained. They can't just go do whatever they want. You're going to see later in the Revelation, while Satan has opened and unleashed hell, yet he is on a chain. He only has so much influence. Because as bad as it is, it would be way worse if it wasn't that he was chained while he's out of his prison cell. Remember, Satan has to ask God for permission to do to Job what he does. He doesn't just get to do it. He has to get permission to do it. But what you want to see here is that God is in control of all of this. As Joel Beakey says on this text, the devil is a slave to providence. I want you to remember that. We're going to think about that a little bit more in a moment. But the devil is a slave to providence. God uses him to make men turn to himself. You see, at the end of the chapter, verse 21 talks about repentance. It's saying, boy, we got a problem with all of that warning. They pretty much didn't repent. But that is the purpose of it. It's a warning to repent. It's a serious warning to repent. And some will. Some consciences do get pricked. Some people do get sensitive. They finally wake up and they know they need to be saved from everything going on around them. All of a sudden they see it for what it is. God works repentance and faith in their life. And they want out. And then they get sealed. But the point of it is, most of them don't repent, but it is that they would repent. It gives them yet another opportunity to repent. Now, Satan isn't interested in that. He just wants to take them out. But that is what God is using it for. You see, don't forget, this is a trumpet. This is the fifth trumpet. A trumpet is something sounded to give a warning. And it came out of the seventh seal, all these trumpets. And the seven seals were opened by Christ himself to make these things happen, including the seven trumpets coming out of the seventh seal. And Christ took the scroll out of the hand of God sitting on the throne in the throne room of heaven. The point being, all these trumpets came out of the seal, which came out of Christ's hand, who took it from the hand of the Father in heaven. The point is, everything happening here, don't forget, John wants you to be encouraged. It's from God. You don't have to be afraid. It's from God. All of this is from God, ultimately. God is not sitting opposite Satan on man's other shoulder. He rules. Now, I want to touch on that for a moment. The devil is a slave to providence. And I'm just always amazed, you know, you watch a conservative news program and they think they're doing good because they're talking about religion, but they're almost never talking about true religion, even when they pretend they are. And they actually had, it's going to sound like I'm introducing a joke, I think I've said this to a few of you, they had a Catholic priest and a Jewish rabbi on. It sounds like they weren't in a bar, but you know, it sounds like that. But they had these guys on to talk about the topic of, does the devil exist? And the Jewish rabbi said, no. But both of them talked, and the host as well, just talked about man. The question was, does the devil exist? But they only talked about it almost like a yin and yang. The devil's here influencing man. And God's over here trying to influence man. And man has to make his choice. The choice of man is pretty much what the conversation was about. As if God is sitting on the one shoulder, trying to talk in your other ear against Satan as equals. You need to see that is not what's happening. And by the way, they're always talking about, why is all this evil in the world? That came up in this interview. Don't understand why all this is happening. Well, here's your answer. Satanic influence, but it's coming out of the hand of God, and it is a trumpet warning to you to get right with Christ before it's too late. Open your Bible, which was amazing. You didn't hear the scripture quoted once. You see, they weren't listening to the trumpet. But we have an opportunity. They're all asking about the trumpet. They don't want to hear what it means. And we need to tell them what it means. And that comes to us. That's the last character section tonight, Christians. We are protected from Satan's sting. And we are meant to witness against him to the wicked in the world. We need to tell them what's happening. If God peradventure would grant some of them to repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 4 of chapter 9. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So the other side of it is, those who do have the seal of God on their foreheads are protected. They can't be stung. Now, there are all these warnings to watch out for Satan in the scriptures, but that's just God's means of protecting you and preserving you. But you can't be stung if you're a Christian. You can't be taken away. You can't lose your salvation. You can't go to hell if you're truly Christian, because you've been marked with the seal of Christ on you. Satan can't touch you. You cannot be demon possessed. And you can resist Satan and he will flee from you. Now that's good news. Revelation 7 verse 3 is this scripture again to go to see that we've been marked with the seal of Christ. Sealed Christians have the armor of God. Remember Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 17. You might go there tonight. Sharpen your tools and know that you have the means to be protected. God uses means, but he seals you. But all that armor that you're supposed to put on to fight what? The fiery arrows, the darts of Satan coming at you. But see, you've got that. The world doesn't have that. You know, sometimes you talk with somebody and like basic stuff in the Bible, you just assume anybody knows, at least in America, and you find out I don't know who Noah is. What? You know what I mean? They don't know nothing. They don't have anything. They have no protection. They don't have the sword. If they do, it's got dust somewhere in the house. They don't know where to find it. They're not protected. They are totally exposed to these attacks of the demons. But you, Christian, you have the privilege of not being that. You have Christ's seal on your forehead, and you have the armor of God to use. And so you can say with Paul, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. You don't have to be afraid of the sting of death because you're saved. Satan can't bring you down. It cannot happen. You don't have to be afraid to die, like everyone else really is, because they don't know what's going to happen. Although deep down in their conscience, they know they're going to hell if they don't get right with God. And some of them will actually admit that to you. And they're afraid of it. And yet they won't repent because the sting just keeps them down and deceives them to go back one more time. You are to be a witness to this world. You see, because what happens is they go back, you know, one more time for that, just that one last drink. Just that one last shot. Just that one last pill to get me through the night. Just that one last affair. They just can't say no. They're just at the end of the day, they can't stop. Because they're deceived. And they need faith to believe the truth of the scriptures. And you've got to point out to them, you know, you keep doing that, but what you're not recognizing is it's a warning. You know how you always feel miserable in the morning? You know how you know deep down this isn't helping? It's not fixing the problem? You need Christ and the misery of your life. And the way you try to mask the misery of your life is a loud trumpet screaming in your ears, come to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Who offers peace with God and thus peace in your soul and the promise of eternal life where you do not have to be afraid of death itself. It has no sting in your conscience. You don't worry. You've got to give that witness to people. Now look at chapter 8, verse 13. A reminder once again. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Well, the first one just sounded tonight. Were you listening? And are you ready to go interpret it to everyone else who's hearing it, but they don't have ears to hear its true meaning? You see, it's being framed here. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Big deal. Really dangerous. Happening all around you. You need to recognize what I'm trying to tell you. The seal is introduced by these woes, and two more are to come. Verse 12, the last verse of our text of chapter 9. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. This is another tool for you to witness to the world. You understand what's really going on out there. You're being reminded why people act the way they do, because they're not like you. They don't have faith. They don't have the seal on their forehead. They're only acting according to who their master is. They're obeying their master, who stings them to make them obey. But you need to show them it's a warning about how bad it's actually going to be in hell if they don't escape. The trumpets are a warning. They're a warning to repent before final judgment comes. And right after the trumpet's warning come the bowls of wrath. They are soon to be poured out. The trumpets are a warning for whoever may have an ear to hear to repent, yet still. So I call on you, Christian, to witness to the world. Witness not only with the weather, as we looked at last week. Use the rest of the evening news. Hell is already unleashed on earth to warn as of its coming for you who are not sealed in Christ through repentance and faith. Hell has already been unleashed. Somebody asks, why does that stuff happen? Why does that next thing happen? Why do they just shoot all those people in that school or in that movie theater? Because hell has been unleashed. That'll get their attention. And you know what? They'll know you're telling the truth more than all the other ridiculous explanations. See, everybody knows those explanations on the news don't explain anything. And they don't fix anything. And so they don't know what to do. You can say hell has been unleashed. And it's a warning trumpet to you. When people show their unhappiness to you, when they show their fear to you, you've got to say this. It sounds to me like you've got the scorpion sting. What do you mean I got the scorpion sting? You've got the scorpion sting. It's pulsating through your veins. You need to listen as your heart beats it through your system. As you lay down at night and you hear your heartbeat in your ears, you've got to know that the scorpion sting is going through your veins with every beat, with every pulse. Because this is Christ's fifth trumpet of warning and the first of the three woes. Every time you want to go to the bottle again, or you want to go to that woman again, or you want to go to that computer again, whatever you go to try to hide the fact that you're absolutely miserable and you just can't stop because you keep getting stung, you need to recognize that's Christ warning you. You're experiencing a taste of what will be eternal and terrible despair in hell if you don't repent and get out. You've got to hear the trumpet call. You've got to challenge them to hear the fifth trumpet call, the warning, the first of the three woes. And you need to say, you need to listen to him. And you need to repent. Warn the wicked. Speak to the scorpion's sting that they feel. Let's pray. Oh Lord, give us courage. Give us courage to speak to these things. We know it's true. Our hearts know this is real. But to go out in the world and say it is another thing. Give us courage, we pray. Give us compassion for these lost people who are stung. Yes, they are sinning, but help us to see how deceived they are. Help us to tell them to recognize all of their misery and unhappiness in life, all of their wicked choices, and all of the terrible consequences is the fifth trumpet warning of Jesus Christ to repent while there is still time. And time is running out. Help us to just cut to the chase and tell them, I'll tell you why this is going on. Satan has unleashed his demons upon you. And you need Jesus Christ to save you from them. And he can. Ask him to save you. Help us to remember what we're studying, Lord. May it not be academic, purely. May we put it into practice. And may you use this gospel truth to call out your elect, to save them from the clutches of Satan, that they would be like the man who no longer was called Legion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.